Welcome to the Data Able podcast, where Dave Mathias and Matt Jesser dive into data. Each week, they cover the culture, knowledge, and practices that successful organizations, leaders, and individuals use to get value out of data.
This week, we are going to continue our conversation on data storytelling. Dave, in our last episode around storytelling, we talked a lot about all the good things that it can do for an analyst. It can really help them do their jobs better by both bringing emotion along with facts. What we didn't really touch on were the potential downsides or pitfalls that storytelling can bring. With most things, there are two sides to every coin.
You're exactly right. I mean, stories can get people that emotionally engaged. They can picture, they can relate. One of the challenges with storytelling is that good storytelling can actually take people away from the data itself. Certainly in politics, oftentimes not necessarily the best candidate is the polished candidate. And because of that, that polished candidate might win. They might not be best for the country or your locality or your whatever, but they're going to be successful because they're the better storyteller. So how do you balance good storytelling and good data-driven decisions?
Well, Dave, I think it's a fair point. And without getting too much into, you know, the political realm, I think any tool in an analyst's toolbox, whether it be a statistical tool, visualization tool, or a storytelling tool, can be used for good and it can be used for bad, right? That is the challenge. That is our challenge, is to share truth or what we believe to be true, and to tell it in a way that get people to care about the message that's being delivered. So yeah, good storytellers can often use suspect foundational information to get people to do all sorts of things. And that's the unfortunate reality of the world that we live in. I think this gets to more of an ethics conversation than anything, but be aware of the storytelling as you are inundated with social media posts, with marketing campaigns, with people in your organization who are adamantly opposed to your ideas or very passionate about their own ideas. Be aware of storytelling and the power of storytelling to motivate a human, even if it's not necessarily in the direction that you think is best.
That is one of the things, and we talked about in a previous podcast around data fluency and having people that are data fluent that can really, you know, look behind the curtain, so to speak, and really understand, okay, this person's, they sound good, but where's the substance, right? And as one of the things you mentioned is that level of integrity and ethics. Certainly that's another component. I'm sure we'll get into other episodes there, but I think, you know, you're exactly right. You know, storytelling is a tool in the toolbox, and whether you're an analyst or whether you're a product manager, or whether you're whatever, it is one of those things to certainly use, but you should also realize when it will impact things positively and when it will impact things positively but unethically, and use it accordingly. But that's just, like, I guess, a lot of tools, and, you know, certainly data visualizations, you see a lot of people taking advantage of, you know, in that sense, because you can quickly see, oh, we've gone from 70.9% to 84.2%. And of course, if you show it starting out at 65%, well, on the axis, then it looks pretty dang impressive. But once again, it's in the eye of the beholder. So you almost have to, you look at that and take a step back and say, okay, is that really as impressive as it is? So I think today's world, unfortunate or not, we always have to be very critical of even compelling stories and really process information for ourselves and not just rely on good stories. So one thing that's out there, and I don't think people think about this, but when you're talking about storytelling, there's so many emails going around. There's just so many emails. Tell us how you can tell a story in email.
I'm going to break that into two pieces. One is telling a story in a business context, and one is telling a story in a personal context. They're actually quite different. If you've never taken a business writing class, I would strongly encourage you to go seek one out, either through your own company or, you know, take a quick online course. I'm sure there are some out there. In the business world, you want to start with the main point, and you don't want to bury it, right? writers or like newspaper writers will talk about burying the lead. In business, you don't want to bury the lead. In fact, you want to just blatantly say what the thing is. So you start with, what is it that I want you to know? And then your follow-up sentences are going to help build context for why the thing that you're trying to convey is true. So maybe you build on top of it, you build that story, but you start with the end in mind. You start with, what's the moral of this story? In personal storytelling, it's different, right? You can be a little bit more nuanced in how you approach and how you build to that ultimate revelation of the story or of the moral. So those are the two things that I'm going to call out is the difference between your business storytelling and your personal storytelling. In both, you're still going to use narrative. You're still going to use emotion. You're going to use contextual clues, and you're going to put the story in terms that the listener or reader can understand. Again, not numbers and facts, but real people, real emotion, real things that are happening in the business or in your personal life. So those are kind of the two ways that I would separate things out is the business storytelling and the personal storytelling.
So I'm going to emphasize the business storytelling, and I think you're spot on the comments that you made, but I'm also going to add that I think really being conscious of a good subject line and really thinking of what that subject line is and helping that reader understand, and then using bullets well, using bold or italicized or other types of items well, and generally think about how you can take words out and be as concise as possible. So there may be some times when you're going to have a long email. Sometimes you just can't get away from that. And it makes sense in this situation, but really you should be thinking shorter is better. People's time is tight. So really thinking about it in that way, that anytime you're having them read, you're taking their time away from other items that they could be doing. And like you said, writing like a journalist, not burying the lead, those are all great points. So I think as a person that's read, thousands and thousands of bad emails, certainly I appreciate when I can see somebody has spent time on writing a good email.
I think there's a quote from Mark Twain about that, isn't there?
I didn't have time to write a short letter, so I wrote a long one instead.
The more words, the more smarter, right, Dave?
That's nice. The more words, the more smarter. I like it. In that note, what do, maybe do some haikus next time and really keep it really tight and short our next communications.
The Data Able podcast is produced by Dave Mathias and Matt Jesser and made possible by Beyond the Data. At Beyond the Data, we are on a mission to help high-performing individuals successfully become champions for a more data-driven approach in their organizations. We believe that data science is only part of the equation. Getting value out of data requires building a culture that starts with you, is supported by executives, and trickles down to every facet of your organization. You can learn more about Beyond the Data and our approach at gobeyondthedata.com.